Chapter 4 tonight, if you got your Bible. I'm just going to read some. I feel like the Lord had me preach on this. May the Lord help us. There's a verse here that's really helped me and comforted me in the last couple weeks of my life. And I'm going to give it to you tonight. I'm going to start reading verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Boy, what love he had for this church.
Amen.
Paul loved the Philippians. He had a special love for them. And the Bible speaks about that dearly beloved, greatly loved, may I say that, longed for. He said that my joy and my crown. Now, you know, it's a fact tonight that God made a revelation to the Corinthian church that God's the one that gives an increase. It's not the minister. God uses a minister. God uses a man of God. But the God of heaven said that they were not anything. He has strong language right there. But God that giveth increase. So we know tonight, but I'm telling you, in a ministry of the preacher, a ministry of the church, to see somebody get saved and go on for God, amen, it's extra joy to a man, thank God, that it does the ministry work. And so he said, my joy and crown. That crown's an athletic term. Thank God that they participated in the games. And he said, so stand fast. That simply means persevere, endure. Thank God you're going to have opposition. His church has some joy about it. Amen. Notice what he said here. Stand fast in the Lord. Now, you're going to have to add that. You won't stand fast unless you do it in the Lord. And he gives you the strength to do it. Then he said this. And so he said, my dearly beloved. Amen. What love he had for them. Then he said, I beseech Eudeus and beseech Cynthia that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Now, apparently in this church here, these two women, they had some differences. And that's why Paul said be of the same mind. I don't think it was doctrinal differences. It was probably just some differences of personality and differences of thoughts that can cause contention in a church. And here we find here in the Scripture that he says here, these two women, thank God, need to have the same mind. And notice again the words, in the Lord. And so tonight there would be nothing in a local church, thank God, that ought to all, any time, thank God, cause contention or dissension, amen, or strife over a personal preference, amen, our personalities, that we have to be long-suffering or forbear with in the ministry of the church. Amen. Anything can hinder the workings of God because the Holy Ghost is a sensitive person tonight, and you can hinder him with just your attitude. Amen. You can hinder the workings of God, my friend, just because, amen, you get something in your heart, thank God, towards somebody within the body. And so we need to be in the same mind. He said they was of one accord, same mind. Amen. They was in unity, and God said that's blessed of God. Then he said in verse 3, I entreat thee also a true yoke fella. Now the word yoke fella, thank God, takes the meaning that they were yoked with him in the work. Amen. Yoke. When you're in a yoke, you're together. Amen. And we yoke with believers. We yoke with like-mindedness. Amen. We can't pull on one end of the rope and the other pull on the other end. There's got to be a yoke. Thank God, in the believer tonight. And so he said, true. I like that true yoke fella. It just simply means that they were co-yoked. Help those women which labored with me in the gospel. And so he said, help the women that labor with me. Assist them. Help them. Amen. He talked to the church here. And I don't say this tonight. It's not this one individual in the church, but it's the body. Thank God that works together, strives together to be in this one mind and one accord, amen, and pulls with the preaching, and pulls with the burdens, amen, carry one another's burdens. And so we see here, they, thank God, labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also. That's a common name in that day, amen. So we don't know specifically who he might be talking about there, but we knew he was a co-laborer, and with my fellow laborers, notice that, amen, them that that labor, to toil, to work, amen, in a sacrificial way, amen, they didn't have to be seen. Thank God they just, my friend, put their hand to the plow, so to speak, and work with the man of God in the work there. And Paul joined in that. Then he said, whose names are in the book of life. Thank God he let them know, praise God, them people save people. They're born again. They're in the book of life. And then he said this, rejoice in the Lord always. If I ever knew anything, I know this. Thank God, rejoicing in the Lord keeps the spirit right in the church. He wants us to rejoice. That first rejoice just simply means that we need to rejoice. Amen. Thank God, we remember, he said, the night restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Thank God, restoration and joy. When they read the book of God in Nehemiah, he said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. He said, these things are right in you that your joy may be full. And joy is the gladness, spiritual gladness of heart. That we rejoice in who? The Lord. The unchangeable Lord. Thank God, the one that bought you with blood. The one that saved you with grace. Amen. That puts you in the family of God by His own will. He begot us by the word of truth. That God set His affection on us. Thank God, has sent His own Son into the world to die for us, but personally. Thank God that we not only would, but could and would be. Thank God, by the grace of God through faith. Amen, friend. Thank God, God sealed that and with His own blood when He put it on the mercy seat, having obtained the eternal redemption. And so we find tonight that we rejoice in the Lord always. If there's nothing to rejoice in your circumstances. Amen. Paul and Silas got thrown in the Philippian jail, and the Bible said they sang praises and worshiped and prayed. Thank God, the jail brothers shook under their prayers and rejoicing that they believed God. Amen. When they got to praying and believing God, thank God, the jailer got saved in his house. Amen. They didn't complain, didn't try to break out. Thank God, they stayed right where God's providence had them, that they might do the will of God. Friend, tonight, this is not the only place. Thank God, you can do the will of God. There's, brother, wherever God's at, and He's in you tonight if you're born again, and you can worship Him and enjoy the good presence of God. Rejoice in the Lord. And He said, again, I say rejoice. Amen. That second rejoice means, thank God right there, He says to be cheerful. Amen. That's right. That word means to be cheerful. Then He said this in verse 5, let your moderation be known unto all men. Now, there's been different thoughts on this word moderation, but basically it means, I think, thank God, to be a patient individual. Be gentle. Amen. Let your gentleness or patience or your moderation be known to all men. Amen. Notice this. The Lord is at hand. Thank God, two things I want to say about that. Number one, His presence is at hand. Number two, His coming is at hand. And so we got to remember these things. But He said, the Lord is at hand. Amen. One man put it like this. He said, William said, moderation is you will meet a man halfway. Amen. That you're willing, thank God, let your moderation, amen, be made known. That's what them women need to do, and agree, praise God, to go on for the glory of God and not let the church be hindered like Miriam. Stop the march there in Israel. Thank God, by her a rebellion all against God and God's man. When God took her and Aaron outside and said, Moses is the man. Thank God. He said, is Moses the only one God speaks to? Is Moses the only one? Why don't God tell us? We can be be used of God. And God said, come on outside here, I'll talk to you a minute. And God started to march for 7 days, struck her leprosy. And I'm telling you, not praying there. Hey God, why don't you be content, brother, in the night? Hey God, with what God wants you to do. I tell you, that's where the devil fell, friend. He said, I'll make my throne as a throne of God. And one thing in this day and time is, amen, everybody wants their own rights. Everybody's got a right to be right. Thank God, they need to be right with God. Amen. That's right. They're not concerned about God tonight. Every group in America's wanting rights, but they ain't the righteousness of God. It's the right of men. Amen. But I'm telling that, friend, when they face the judgment of God tonight, they would to God they had a righteousness. Thank God, they're right with God. Amen. Lord, it looks like that tonight. Notice this here. He said in verse 6, and here's the verse, be careful for nothing. The word careful there takes the meaning of troublesome cares or troubled with cares and taking thought. So he said, be careful for nothing. Notice what the word nothing means. It means not even one thing. And so he said tonight, don't worry about one thing. Hey, listen, friend. Now listen to me tonight. Most of your worrying, friend, and your gray hairs, amen, come tonight from worrying about things that you can't do one thing about. Amen. Listen tonight. Can I give you some help tonight in my own heart? God's helped me. Number one, God wants me to examine myself, take care of myself. If I take care of myself and make sure I'm clean, and make sure everything's all right with me, and I got a 24-hour job to do it. And I'm telling you, friend, it takes more time than that. I know myself. And so I've got to keep myself in line. I don't have time to know what Danny's doing. I don't have time to know what Trevor's doing. I don't have time to know, my friend, to be troubled, thank God, with all the cares that go on around me. Tonight, it's going to be easy for me to worry, thank God, about things I have no control over. I find myself sometimes worrying, thank God, but the Holy Ghost reminded me of this verse here, and he said, be careful for nothing, not one thing. I know what to do, God said. I'm on the throne. I know how to take care of every need. I know how to take care of your children. I know how to take care of your grandchildren. I know how to take care of the church. Amen. I test my church. It ain't yours. And I know how to take care of it. I know what to do about it. I know how to deal with sinners. I know how to take care of backsliders. I know how to do it. I know what to do. And you don't have to worry one thing tonight about it. Amen. You can sleep good tonight. I'm on the throne. I never slumber, never sleep. And you don't have to worry about one thing. Thank God tonight, friend. Be careful for nothing tonight. Amen. You can live your life like this. You can live free. I'll tell you that. Amen. There's the thing. When things come up, be careful for nothing. When you're in a tight spot, be careful for nothing. Don't worry. Don't have anxiety about one thing. Amen. You're going to face it tomorrow. That's right. You're going to worry about a lot of things in life. But I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. It says, be careful for nothing. That means there's not one thing God can't take care of. And then he went on in the rest of that verse, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Two things he mentioned right there. He meant prayer, supplication, that's request before God, with thanksgiving, be in gratitude. Amen. Hey God, and let your request be made known unto God. What he's saying there is, just bring it to me, worship me, pray to me, cast it upon me. Thank God, don't you let that thing drag you down. Don't you be worrying about that. Amen. Don't you be worrying. Amen. He said, thank God, I feed the birds of the air. How much more shall I take care of you? Thank God, God's took good care of you. He knows what to do tonight. Thank God, we sit around and wonder, how are we going to do this? And how this going to happen? What about this? And what about that? Listen, friend, tonight, there ain't nothing wrong having a burden about somebody praying with them. But to live in worry and fret and what's going to happen next, I'm telling you, wasting your time and I'm wasting my time. And God don't want you to live like that. He wants you to give it to Him. Thank God and enjoy living. Amen. That's right. What you worrying about? Be careful for nothing. For that word nothing means nothing, not one thing. So when that thing strikes you, see, my family goes out of town, what's my first implication? Well, I sure hope they make it all right. My mama says this, I'm a telling her. Boy, I'll be worried till they get back. Be careful for nothing. God's the one. Hey, listen. I had a lady come to me one day, and she was under much stress and worry about her children. And I said, well, I said, you know, I thought about this thing. I said, did God take care of you? She said, yeah. I said, well, I think you'd be enough to take care of them, don't you? And she said, well, yeah. I said, well, what you worried about? I'm going to tell you what, I've done a lot of foolish things growing up. I had good parents that disciplined me and taught me right. But they wasn't with me 24 hours. And I'd done a lot of things. I wasn't what you'd call a daredevil. I just wasn't like that because I was a little scared, you know. But, you know, God saw me through a lot of things. God saw you through a lot of things. And I'm going to tell you what. Why should I live in fret and worry tonight over anything when I know the God that's on the throne tonight taking care of everything that I got to think about? And I'm going to tell you, He ain't going to go to sleep tonight. He won't go to sleep. He don't slumber nor sleep. And brother, tonight, I think in this stressful day, in this day of worrisome things, and we weary from worry, amen, and we wonder, hey, God, tonight, amen, listen, hey, God, be careful for nothing. Hey, God, it'll work out. I tell you, I make a lot of errors in the day, and I said, oh, I made a mistake. And God said, be careful for nothing. Not one thing. There ain't nobody got one thing to worry about in the hand of God. Amen. Notice what he said. He said, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving and gratitude to God, let your request be made known unto God. Notice this. And the peace of God. The peace of God. Here's what this thing does when you pray and don't worry. He says you have the peace of God. Listen to what it said here. He said, and the peace of God which passeth. That means it goes further. It goes beyond. Thank God, it's superior, it's higher, it's better. The peace of God passeth all understanding. It goes much more than human reason. It goes much more than human thinking. Amen. The peace of God settles a man and gives him that grace. Thank God that he can trust God. That peace of God, and that's where it's at. Hey, God, friend, the peace of God tonight. Amen. That's right. And I tell you this tonight, I'll be honest with you, I worry sometimes about preaching. I worry about saying the right thing. That's just part of being a preacher, isn't it? But God said, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, the peace of God passeth all understanding. You don't have to, listen, you don't have to understand. You just need the peace of God. Because it passes understanding. It passes your reason. It passes what you think. Amen. I'm going to tell you this. Imagination. When we start imagining, listen to this. That's one man wrote. He said, danger exists in our imagination. Danger, listen, friend. False supposition. Well, that fella, he wasn't too friendly with me. Reckon he don't love me the way he used to. What happens is, and when you start supposing things, what that brings in your mind is fret, worry, and you try to fix the thing that God never did ordain, and it never was broke. It was just your supposition. Supposition. Amen. I'm not a perfectionist. God's perfect, and my wife's more like it than I'd be. So opposites do attract, because we need one another. Amen. She needs somebody, thank God, that just says, don't worry about that. And I need somebody that says, would you please do every T crossed and every I dotted? And I say, Manny, on my nerves. And she says, I can't understand why you're not, you just go ahead and do that and don't think about doing it like this. And that gets on her nerves. You know what solves it all? The peace of God. Amen. That passeth all understanding. It keeps your hearts. It guards your hearts. Amen. Because I'm telling you, I'm glad God made her the way she is. Without, listen, I say this honestly tonight. God give me a good wife, and buddy, I'm telling you, she's on target. Amen. That's right. And sometimes I just shoot. She's going to aim real good before she shoots. I just shoot. Amen. That's right, because that's my nature. I was like my grandpa. He was like that. He didn't care. Amen. He wasn't bothered by that. Amen. But I'm telling you this tonight, friend. A lot of times we worry about things. Hey, God, this might not be just right. But I'm telling you, He knows how to fix it. He knows how to do it. And when you get these false suppositions in your mind, you start worrying. Well, it's what the preacher think about me. You know, if we can ever get to the place in our Christian life, it matters more but what God knows about us than what I think about us. Amen. Is that right? Here's the thing, friend. You don't have to prove you're right. You don't have to prove you're right. God knows you're right if you're right. Amen. That's right. You don't have to prove to me you're right. God knows you're right. That's the main thing. It's about God tonight. Let the peace of God. Thank God, my friend. Let the peace of God rule your heart. Let the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Thank God. Keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus tonight. Praise God. Where's your mind? That's where your battle is, your mind. Right here. Your mind is. That's where your opposition comes. It's your mind. That's where your mind is. It's how you think. Is that right? How you think? Well, you think verse 8 says what it does. Look what it says. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. The word true, this means whatever is truthful. I think everything about what this verse says is Christ. It's the Word. Whatsoever things are honest, it means whatsoever honorable. Hey God, whatsoever things are just, it means holy and right. Whatsoever things are pure, it means it's clean. Chaste. Whatsoever things are lovely, acceptable. Whatsoever things of good report, they're sound. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, what's he say? Think on these things. The same word that we get our, it means regard. Think, regard these things. Think on these things. This is where the battle is. The battle's right here. Amen. The battle's right here. That's why your thought life controls you. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That word thinketh is what he owes his mind to. That's what he'll be. Ain't God, if a man owes his mind to the Bible, if his man mind open up to Christ, if his mind will open up, thank God, and think on the things that God said think on. Thank God, friend, I'm telling you this tonight. Hey God, you'll have a peaceable life, and you don't have to worry and fret. You don't have to, hey God, my friend, have a supposition that's not true. Hey God, disbelieve God and give it to Him tonight. Amen. That's right. Amen. You know what I think Paul was incorporating this in? Because there were some differences in the church, and it was based on probably their thoughts and not God's. That's right. What you thinking of? It's a whole good chapter. The church flourished again toward Paul. They were revived in their own heart to send to him. Thank God, finances and whatever his need was. That's why he said, God will supply your need because you supplied mine. That's what God's message was. Amen. That's right. Thank God, friend. You ain't going to never outgive him. I'm telling you, never will. I'll tell you what, if you'll help somebody that's in need, he said, not that I desire a gift, but I desire fruit. Listen, what's fruit? I think it's people. I think fruit's people. Fruit, if you look at the word fruit, is something that's that would say that's produce. is something that come off a tree. Amen. Because friend, the law of that tree, thank God, brings it forth. And Paul's saying the law of giving, amen, brings forth fruit to your life and fruit to your church. And not only will I supply the need for that, God says I'll supply all your needs. Not just some of it, all. Thank God it's in giving out. Thank God that God says, I'll bring a harvest. Thank God, if you'll sow, you'll reap. That's what he said to the church there. Amen. That's right. See, I got that in my mind. That's my mindset. Now, if I sow, I'll reap. If I sow, I'll reap. Everybody says, well, they reap what they sowed. That's a whole lot deeper than that. That's just what people say. That's just how they take it. But they don't never say nothing about righteous sowing or spiritual sowing. It's more about that than anything, because the Galatian church had a problem with false teachers in there, and they're dealing with circumcision, which is of the flesh, and they was reaping, my friend, thank God, these things from the false teachers, because they allowed them to come in, amen. And he said, if you sow the Spirit, you shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And that's what he's saying. There's a reap, there's a sowing, and there's a reaping. It's universal law. Thank God, every man that what you sow, you're going to reap. It's like the old boomerang song them kids sing. Throw the boomerang, come back to you. The plant good stuff is coming back. It's implicit. I'm telling you, it's the truth. If you do what God says with what God gives you as a steward, then God's going to bring something back to you. Amen. Somebody said, I don't sow to get. Well, yeah, that's a foolish statement. That's very foolish. Now, when I put my giving in this morning, I didn't have in my mind about God giving me something back. But I know that that is a truth, that what I give, God will bless, whether it be souls, whether it be just the blessing of God as a cheerful giver, or whether it be finances. God will return something to the giver. Amen. Given, it shall be given unto you. That's the truth. That's what Paul's saying here. And I'm going to tell you what, friend. It's right, brother. Amen. It's just right. Thank God tonight. If a man does that, he'll be highly blessed of God. He's not looking to be rich. He's not doing it for that motive. He's doing it to be a blessing to somebody else. Amen. That's worth that. Thank God for it. Be not careful for nothing, Justin. Be careful for nothing. Amen. Be careful for nothing. I'm not saying gray hairs come on all that, but they can bring gray hairs. Amen. That's right. Which white hair is a picture of wisdom too, according to Proverbs. A wise man, you know, gray hair. Amen. I'll tell you what, the grayer the hair, the more wisdom we ought to have. That's right. But I'll tell you, a wise man, and I'm through, a wise man does what God says. It's not a man sitting around thinking to say something he thinks is wise. A wise man's obedient. That's where wisdom is, in obedience to God. Amen. Let's stand tonight. Appreciate you hearing me.